WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin man accused of murder has been found in New Mexico after driving away from a halfway house in Toma last week. Shane Helmbrecht was found near Santa Fe and released to the Eau Claire County Sheriff's Department. Helmbrecht was arrested in 2016 for the murder of his neighbor in Eau Claire, but he was found incompetent to stand trial. He was staying at a halfway house in Toma when authorities say Helmbrecht took his parents' car and fled. In Wisconsin, you need a witness in order to fill out an absentee ballot. A liberal law firm is challenging that law. Nate Wegehout has more.
The Elias Law Group filed the lawsuit in federal court on Monday. They say the requirement to have a witness sign absentee ballot envelopes violates the Federal Voting Rights Act. The law firm says that requiring absentee voters to have a witness attest to their qualifications to vote violates that law. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of four Wisconsin voters who find it difficult to get a witness due to health risks, living alone, or traveling overseas. The lawsuit names the State Elections Commission and multiple city clerks from across the state as defendants. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Fraud prevention experts are getting the word out about avoiding scams. Kathy McDougall with the AARP says if you get a suspicious phone call, don't engage with the person on the other end.
It's better to be rude and hang up than be robbed from them. Don't respond to suspicious emails from people that you did not initiate contact.
McDougall says if you are scammed, it's important to report it to police within 2 days. Cell phones, radios, and TVs will be buzzing tomorrow afternoon for a nationwide test of the Federal Emergency Alert System and wireless emergency alerts. Mike Moen explains.
Jared Tessman, the Emergency Management Coordinator in Monroe County, says the alert rollout will begin at 1:20 p.m. Central Time on October 4th. The purpose is to get people thinking about what would happen in a national emergency, but there's local significance too.
We can send the same tests out at a local level to notify people of evacuations that are necessary due to various types of disasters, hazardous materials incidents.
When these tests are conducted, he says it's important for people to have their phones on so they can confirm their device can receive such a message in a real emergency. I'm Mike Moen.
Some Wisconsin dairy farms are using Fitbits to track their cows' eating, breathing, and other important information. They're often worn as collars, and they help farmers keep their dairy cows healthier and more productive. Wisconsin is the leading cheese-making state in America and the second biggest state for producing fluid milk. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha police are investigating vandalism at the Waukesha Strong Memorial, a tribute to the victims of the Christmas parade attack. Someone recently spray-painted the name Brandon Fox in the memorial's corner. While Brandon Fox was one of the original designers of the mural, he's not been involved in the project for years. This marks the second occurrence of his name being spray-painted on the mural. Fox 6 contacted Brandon Fox, and he says he had nothing to do with it. Tonight marks the beginning of Milwaukee's postseason journey as the Brewers face the Arizona Diamondbacks in the first of a potential three-game series at American Family Field. Milwaukee secured the NL Central title while Arizona clinched the final wildcard seed. This postseason appearance is manager Craig Counsell's fifth. First pitch is scheduled for 6:08. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers lose one of their top pitchers. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers begin their playoff series tonight against the Diamondbacks, but they won't have starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff. Manager Craig Counsell making the announcement.
Brandon Woodruff will be out for this series. He has a right shoulder capsular injury. We're working on a second opinion and for Brandon to see over the next couple days. Frankly, his availability for the postseason is up in the air at this point.
It's the same injury that kept Woodruff on the IL the first 4 months of the season. The 30-year-old right-hander asked how he's doing.
Not good. When you deal with an injury and then it pops back up, it popped up at the wrong time. But also maybe it's a blessing because I can, you know, have it taken care of. So it sucked, man. we got a good clubhouse, and I want to be a part of that. And you know, sitting here now, I may not. So that's the hard part.
So it's game one of the best of three game series tonight at AmFam Field. First pitch at 6:08. Corbin Burnes gets the start tonight and talked about facing Arizona.
They've been really, really good all year. They're really hot early on, but you know, it's all about who goes out and plays the best baseball. And I think the way we've been playing baseball the last month and a half, it doesn't matter who we're playing, what their record is. I think if we go out there and play the baseball we've been playing, we'll be in a good spot.
Elsewhere in baseball, another manager fired. The Angels will not bring back Phil Nevin after 1.5 seasons. The Giants fired Gabe Kapler. The Mets let go Buck Showalter. NBA, the Bucks training camp begins today. The team introduced point guard Damian Lillard, who talked about getting the phone call that informed him he'd been traded to the Bucks.
Just kind of sitting there in my man cave, I didn't really know what was going to happen. I started to think like, man, it might get to training camp and I might just be sitting and waiting, you know. And then I got that call from my agent. It was like, man, you're getting traded to Milwaukee.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Were you out and about in that 87-6 degrees yesterday?
I didn't. It was a little unexpectedly hot for me.
Oh, you were out?
No, I wasn't. I stayed in the house and watched some TV.
With 86 degrees, you stayed in the house?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you.
Okay, so what about today, man? It's going to be 85 again.
Yeah, I'll probably take the dog out and play some fetch.
Man, I was out, man. And I'm going to be out today. I'm going to be out tomorrow. And I'm going to be out Friday because what comes after is 56 degrees. Man, you got to keep counting them down. But anyway, got a lot to talk about today. You know, sometimes I get really frustrated when I hear people, you know, come on the air and throw around, you know, statistics and constantly talk about, you know, the budget and what we owe. And, you know, every one of our children owe $100,000. And so I got to, and then the fact that we get to a point where there's this celebratory response to the Democrats and the Republicans both coming up with a 45-day stopgap. And so people are celebrating. Well, here's the reality of it. And we're going to go through where we are with this budget, where the $31 trillion deficit came from, who's responsible, what percentage of that deficit Democrats created, what percentage of it Republicans created, what the budget actually is, what non-discretionary spending, what percentage of that is, you know, can be cut, military, all of it. We're going to spend the entire show talking about the budget, how it came to be, and why, unless taxes are raised on the wealthy, it'll never be fixed. That's what we're going to discuss this morning. Let's begin here. So Calvin, last year, you know, the budget was $6.1 trillion. We raised $5 trillion in taxes. So there's this $1.1 trillion structural a deficit in 2022. You only took in $5 trillion, but the outlays were $6.1 trillion. Now, let's get into where this real budget deficit actually came into existence. Would anybody believe, well, whether you believe it or not, here are the facts. In 1974 to 19, let me get it right. The budget deficit in 1963 to 1969, let's go here. From George Washington, Calvin, all the way to George Bush Jr., up till George Bush Jr., the budget deficit was $5.71 trillion. That's all the presidents from George Washington all the way up to George W. Bush. All that was $5.71 trillion. That was our deficit. George Bush Jr. then raised the deficit in his two terms. He doubled the deficit. It went from $5.71 trillion to $10.71 trillion. So in two terms, George Bush Jr. doubled the deficit. The national debt. He doubled it. It was $5.71 trillion when he came in. When he left, it was $10.71 trillion. Barack Obama comes into office following George Bush Jr. And in two terms, he raised that deficit $9.3 trillion. He just about doubled it. Now, we're going to talk about why, what took place in those years afterwards, why there was a reason that those expenditures exploded. Two terms. In comes President Trump. One term. $7.8 trillion. He raises the debt, the deficit. The debt. The national debt. And then we've got President Joe Biden. He's yet to get in a full term, and he's raised it $4.6 trillion. So the last four presidents combined have raised the national debt $25 trillion of the $31 trillion that we owe. The last five presidents have raised that debt from $5 trillion to $31 trillion. Now, what is the breakdown? And why? So Jimmy Carter, when he was president of the United States, let's go to Ronald Reagan. See who's first. Ronald Reagan raised the debt. He was the first president to raise the debt over $1 trillion. He raised the debt 186%. George Bush Sr. raised the debt 54%. George Bush Jr. raised the debt 105%. Donald Trump raised the debt 40%. In total, Reagan, Bush Jr., Bush Sr., Donald Trump raised the debt $17 trillion. those four Republican presidents raised the debt $17 trillion. Democrats, President Obama raised the debt $8 billion in two terms, a 69% increase. President Biden, the present president, raised the debt $4 trillion and counting. He only raised it 8.79%. No matter what these other people say, these are the numbers. Check it out. Bill Clinton raised it $1.5 trillion, 31% increase, and Jimmy Carter raised it $300 billion, an $11 trillion increase total. $17 trillion is what the Republicans have raised the debt. $11 trillion is what, when Democrats were president, have raised the debt. We keep having people call here and say that the Democrats have raised the debt. They're the ones who have created this debt. Look it up. It's not true. And so when we're looking at a $31 trillion debt, we know that $17 trillion of those dollars have been raised by Republicans. And $11 trillion, again, have been raised by Democrats. Now, let me go here, because we can talk about the exact numbers. Under Joe Biden, debt changed 8.79%, $2.5 trillion is what he has raised the debt. When he came in, Donald Trump left with a debt of $28 trillion, or the United States debt was $28.4 trillion. And now it's over $30 trillion. So Biden, $2.5 trillion. When Barack Obama left, it was $20.25 trillion. And Donald Trump raised it to $28 trillion, and it jumped up to $28.425 trillion. Let's do this. Let's go to a break. When we come back, it's a lot of numbers. You can check it out yourself. But at the root of it, we're going to get to why we can never balance this budget unless they're willing to raise the taxes on the wealthiest amongst us. You can talk about cutting all these other programs. We're going to cover each program, and you'll see that the only way to fix this is by raising the taxes on the wealthy. Got to go to a break. The really wealthy. 844-967. You know, not the Calvin wealthy guys, but the really wealthy people. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey, man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies today with highs around 85. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 65. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 77. Low 70s Thursday. Mid 50s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm trying to point out, you know, where the deficit, the national debt, the origin of it, and how it has really taken off under the last four presidents of the United States. Let me try it this way. Let's go back from 1933 to 1945. The national debt was $22 billion. And then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he left office, when he came in, it was $22 billion. When he left office, it was $258 billion, an increase of 104%. Harry Truman, 1945 to 1953, he inherited a $258 billion deficit. When he left, it was $266 billion, an increase of only 2.86%. Followed by Dwight Eisenhower, 1953 to 1961, he inherited a $266 billion debt. When he left, it was $288 billion. an 8.6 increase. Then came John F. Kennedy, 1961 to 1963. He inherited a $280 billion deficit. When he left, it was $305 billion, a 5.4% increase. When Lyndon Johnson came into office in 1963 to 1969, he inherited a $305 billion deficit. And he increased it to $353 billion, a 15.6 increase. when Richard Nixon came into office, 1969 and 1974, $353 billion was what he inherited. It jumped to $475 billion, a 34% increase. Gerald Ford then came 1974 to 1977. He inherited a $475 billion debt. He raised it 47% to $698 billion. Followed by Jimmy Carter, 1971 to 1981. $698 billion was the debt that he inherited when he left. It was $997 billion, a 42% increase. But here's where it really got off the rails. And very few people ever talk about it. They claim that Ronald Reagan was the greatest president in our history. But when Ronald Reagan came into office, America went from the largest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation under Ronald Reagan. So from 1981 to 1989, Reagan came in with a $997 billion deficit. He raised it to $2,857 billion, and 186% increase, the largest increase of debt than any president of the United States and combined at that time. 186% increase. Ronald Reagan started us down the path of these tremendous debts that we owe. He was followed by George Bush Sr., 1989 to 1993. He inherited a $2.8 trillion debt. He increased it 54% to $4.411 trillion. He was followed by then Bill Clinton, 1993 to 2001. Clinton inherited a $4.4 trillion deficit. He increased it 31% to $5.8 trillion. Followed by George Bush Jr., who inherited a $5.8 trillion deficit. He increased it to almost $12 trillion, $11,990 billion, 105% increase. A trillion dollar increase is what George Bush Jr. added, followed by Barack Obama, 2009 to 2017. He inherited almost $12 trillion debt. When he left, it was $20 trillion. He increased it by 69%, or $8 trillion in two terms. Then he was followed by Donald Trump, who came in 2017 to 2021. Donald Trump inherited a $20 trillion debt. He increased it to $28 trillion. A 40% increase in one term. $8 trillion is what Donald Trump cost the debt in one term. And then we up to President Biden, who in his short time has increased it, you know, $4 trillion. So look at the numbers. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. And we'll hash all this out. We'll be right back.
For the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar's gotten his car back after he was carjacked at gunpoint while he parked outside an apartment building in Washington, D.C. WUSA-TV's Jess Arnold.
His team said that he was actually parking his car when three men with weapons approached him and demanded his vehicle, which he, of course, then handed over. Now, inside of that vehicle was also his phone, iPad, luggage.
Congressman Matt Gaetz taking the first step to try to strip fellow Republican Kevin McCarthy of his leadership role.
Resolved that the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
Lawmakers have 48 hours to hold a full vote in the House. The trial of a fallen crypto king begins in New York today. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This is a criminal trial against the hype created by cryptocurrencies as much as it is a prosecution of Sam Bankman-Fried.
He's accused of defrauding investors and customers out of billions of dollars. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Brookfield middle school teacher was temporarily removed from the classroom, but it's unclear why or what actions led to the removal. Elmbrook school leaders say the teacher has since returned after corrective measures were taken. There are conflicting reports, with Fox News claiming the teacher made offensive remarks, but the school spokesperson disputed the accuracy without specifying what was incorrect. The principal acknowledged the actions were offensive to both Jewish and non-Jewish students. Wisconsin lawmakers are addressing the rising issue of reckless driving, particularly in Milwaukee, by proposing stricter penalties for driving without a license. A proposal in an assembly committee aims to elevate the offense from a misdemeanor to a felony if someone without a license is involved in an accident causing injury. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Listen, we're talking about the federal debt and where it came from and what needs to happen to fix it. I don't care what people are saying. The truth of the matter is it will never be fixed unless more revenue is raised. Because, again, as I stated earlier, the budget, $6.1 trillion last year, and the revenue that was taken in was $5 trillion. There's a structural deficit in the budget every year. We talked about the last 30 minutes or so, where it came from, who was responsible for it. Now we need to find out the federal spending outlays. Where does the money go? Because when we're hearing people talk about cut this, cut that, cut these programs, cut those programs, let's look at where the money goes. 8% of the budget goes towards interest on the debt. That $31 trillion that we owe, 8% of the budget goes towards paying that off. 12% goes towards defense spending. 14% goes towards what they call non-discretionary spending. We're going to get into what non-discretionary spending is. 19% of the budget is Social Security. 25% of that budget is health care. Another 9% is income security. We'll go over what that is as well. Another 13% is other. And then there's 0.6% of it is going towards Ukraine. Now, what is non-discretionary spending comprised of? Healthcare and health research, these are part of non-discretionary spending. In 2019, it constituted 23% of the 14% of non-discretionary spending. And that was $150 billion. In 2019, these programs support health research and the provision of healthcare services, but not to include Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act subsidies, which are mandatory programs. Again, Social Security, these health care, those are mandatory spending, military, those things you can, for the most part, it's almost impossible to touch. Transportation, for those who want to see cuts. Transportation economic development makes up another 19% of that 14% of non-discretionary spending. $125 billion in 2019 of that 14% of non-discretionary spending, which is what we're talking about when people talk about cuts. Most of this spending goes to air, ground, and water transportation programs such as the National Highway System, air traffic control, and aviation safety. The Coast Guard and transportation security. The rest goes to a variety of community development activities, disaster insurance, prevention, and relief and agriculture programs. Number three, in the 14% of non-discretionary spending, education and training. Education and training programs constitute 14%, again, of that 14% of non-discretionary spending every year. That comprises $95 billion in, of the spending of non-discretionary money in 2019. The bulk of the spending in this category goes to K through 12 and vocational education, 43% primary to aid school districts in educating students with disabilities and low-income students and higher educational programs, 29% including Pell Grants, which help about 7 million students from low and moderate income households afford college. Less than 1/6 of the spending in this category supports programs that provide pre-kindergarten education and other services for children and families. seniors, and people with disabilities. This includes Head Start and early childhood education programs that helps about 900,000 disadvantaged children prepare for school. An additional 10 supports programs that provide employment and other labor services, including those for veterans, education, training, and rehabilitation. The rest goes to public education and cultural programs that support public broadcasting, as well as public libraries and museums. Let's not, these are a lot of numbers, but let's not forget that these numbers that we're talking about right now are the non-discretionary spending that Republicans want cut out of the budget. These are the things that they're saying we can't afford. Let's go next to economic security. Again, non-discretionary spending, which makes up 14% of the overall budget. Economic security programs constitute 13%, $87 billion of the non-discretionary spending in 2019. Programs in this category primarily help households meet basic needs such as housing, energy, child care, and food costs. This is really where Republicans want to cut. Now, again, it makes up a tiny fraction of the overall budget and the debt that they keep harping on. Housing assistance accounts for more than half of the spending in this category. So half of the 13% or half of $87 billion, $43.5 billion, is in this area. It's for housing assistance for more than half of the spending category, including vouchers and other rental assistance for low-income households, aid for the homeless, and assisted housing for elderly and special needs population. This is where they want to cut. The spending category also covers food and nutritional programs such as WIC, special supplement nutrition programs for women, infants, and children, which provides food assistance to over 6 million low-income mothers and children, and other forms of assistance to low- and moderate-income people, such as low-income home energy assistance programs and child care and development block grant. It also covers Social Security administrative costs. This is such a small percentage of the overall budget. And even if they were able to cut these programs, it would not change the debt problem whatsoever. But because you don't know what these programs are and the percentage of the budget that goes towards these programs, the Republicans can continue to run around and tell these lies about what needs to be cut. Now, number five, law enforcement and governance. Again, we're talking about the 14% of the budget non-discretionary spending. Number five, law enforcement and governance constituted 12%, $76 billion of non-discretionary spending in 2019. About three quarters of this category goes for law enforcement, criminal justice, and correctional activities, such as the FBI, the Border Patrol, and assistance to states and localities. Wait a minute, Calvin. I got to go back. I think there's a misprint here. Okay. This is the area they want to cut, right? Border Patrol and assistance to states and localities for prevention and prosecution of domestic violence and reduction of drug trafficking. The rest funds the Internal Revenue Services, Congress, federal courts, the Government Accountability Office, and other basic governmental operations. Let me repeat that. About a third quarters of this category goes for law enforcement, criminal justice, and correctional activities such as the FBI, Border Patrol, and assistance to states and localities for prevention and prosecution of domestic violence and reduction of drug trafficking. All things that Republicans want to see happen. But they are not aware that the area that they want cut encompasses those programs. Let's go to number six. Again, non-discretionary spending makes up 14% of the budget. Number six is science, environment, and energy. Science, environment, and energy programs constitute 11%, $75 billion of the non-discretionary spending in 2019. About four-tenths of the spending in this category supports conservation and the management of natural resources such as national parks and other environmental programs, including those in the Environmental Protection Agency. Again, four-tenths of a percent. One-quarter of the spending covers NASA's space exploration and related scientific research. The remaining spending supports the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, and clean water infrastructure. You want to cut that? Well, you know, this is what Republicans say. I don't think they know what's in these programs, and that's why I'm taking the time out to go through them to see if any of them who call here constantly talking about we need to cut the budget will even open their mouths to address this issue. Diplomacy and international affairs. Diplomacy and international affairs constitute 8%, $52 billion of the non-discretionary spending in 2019. Half of the spending in this category goes to international development and humanitarian assistance. This subcategory includes disaster assistance, the Peace Corps, the global HIV and AIDS initiatives, and the contributions to international agencies such as the World Health Organization. The remaining spending supports international security activities and programs such as peacekeeping operations and efforts to prevent the proliferation of nuclear weapons and maintenance and protection of U.S. embassies and consulates. Non-discretionary spending as share of economy is historically low. Traditionally, annual funding for both defense and non-defense discretionary programs is provided through 12 appropriation bills covering various parts of the government. In contrast, spending on mandatory or entitlement programs such as Social Security and Medicare is determined by formulas set in authorizing law and generally occur without annual action by Congress. So since 2010, non-discretionary spending has been declining, which is what Sandy talks about all the time, as a share of the economy, and in 2019 reached a record low of 3.1% of the gross domestic product. Let me repeat that. Because for all of these people who keep talking about cut these programs, it only makes up 3% of the gross domestic product, with official data going back to 1962, going forward, COVID-19 and the necessary responses will cause a temporary increase in 2021. That's where we are now. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Entertain your calls on the other side. We'll be right back. In search of you, many lies has brought you to recognize. Visualize now.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out.
And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
High temperatures reach up to 85 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, 65. High of 77 tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. 72 Thursday, with a chance for scattered rain showers. 56 Friday, chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Just joining us, I just spent, you know, the last 45 minutes talking about the origin of our national debt, where it came from, and then broke down where the spending goes. And these statistics are from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization and policy institute that conducts research and analysis on a range of governmental policies and programs. So it's not Earl Ingram. That's who put these statistics out. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ.
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. You know, my dad taught me two things. He said, you know, it's hard to argue with Santa Claus, and liars figure, but figures don't lie.
Okay, hey, CJ, and, well, here are the figures that don't lie. Under Donald Trump, in 1 year, he increased the national debt $8 trillion. Under George Bush Jr., 2 years, he increased the national debt $6 trillion. And under George Bush Sr., $1.5 trillion. And Ronald Reagan, $1.9 trillion for a total of $17 trillion in those four presidencies. And on the other side of it, the Democrats, President Barack Obama, $8.1 trillion in two terms. President Biden, $4 trillion and counting in one term. Bill Clinton, $1.5 trillion in two terms, and Jimmy Carter, $300 billion in one term. Those figures don't lie. $11 trillion is what those Democrats raised the national debt, and the Republicans raised it $17 trillion. Those numbers don't lie. Now go ahead.
Well, first, the president gets the credit or the blame, but the Congress holds the purse strings. And the mere fact that
well, if that's the case, how do you why do you continue to blame? If that's the case, then why do you continue to say Joe Biden is the person who's raised, who's created this debt?
The Congress was just taken over by the Republicans, correct? So they're the ones that are making this an issue. And
what are you talking about?
We're running.
The Republicans,
who got
the Democrats,
Congress in the midterms.
Hey, CJ, the Democrats haven't controlled the Congress under Donald Trump, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Ronald Reagan, Obama, Biden, Clinton, and Carter. Republicans have also had their hands in that. They controlled the Congress in different terms for those presidents. Is it safe to say that? Yes.
You're arguing about a misnomer.
There's not a misnomer. There's no misnomer.
Bill Clinton ended with a surplus due to the Congress of Newt Gingrich.
Hey, CJ.
Controlled Congress.
Hey, CJ, address the fact that you want to talk about Joe Biden and what and the debt that he's raised, and you won't talk about the $8 trillion, or let's go just the $14 trillion that George Bush Jr. and Donald Trump, two presidents, added to the deficit, the debt.
What happened during Donald Trump's presidency? COVID, shutdown of the government. We were humming along.
Hey, CJ.
Right now we're running.
What happened during President Clinton? Obama, when he came into office, the nation was almost at one of the lowest ebbs historically. And when he came in, he's the guy who turned it around. You fail to understand.
CJ,
look at what the Dow Jones was at when Barack Obama came into office. It was 6,500 and falling. When he left, it was 18,000. So who did that? So when Trump came in, he took over an economy.
Remember when
he took over an economy that was where the Dow Jones was humming at the highest rate it had ever been. How did it go from 6.5 to 18,000 in Barack Obama's years? Who gets credit for that?
I guess Obama does, but
okay.
You know, also our debt percentage compared to gross.
Listen, I got to go to a break, man. I got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
You'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us and click on the Careers tab. Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.